Is she excited?
Good evening and welcome to our Monroe City Council meeting. Tonight is Tuesday. It's August 12th, 2014. The time right now is 7 p.m. Will you call the roll, please?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Rasmussen, Camp, Davis, Gamble, and Gehring.
Councilmember Cutaback is out on vacation. She'll be back next week. Councilmember Rasmussen, will you lead us in the pledge?
Sure.
Thank you.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item that we have on the agenda this evening is announcements. Under announcements and presentations is a presentation from the Monroe Chamber of Commerce. This is Una Workabaugh.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So I brought presents. You may not keep this one, but you can pass it on around and play with it and touch it. And then I brought presents. You can all keep one of these. Don't keep them all, Kevin.
Okay.
So I'm back for my monthly update. Scary that it might be. So coming around here, you have a game called the Find It game. And I'm not sure how many of you are aware, but this game is made here in Monroe. And it is also one of the largest selling games in the world right now. And again, 100% of this game is made here in Monroe. So I approached the company, which is called Identity Games. They're here in the industrial park. And they had not ever yet been, well, they've been approached, but nothing had ever been completed on making a custom Find It game. So as of the parade, we will have, Monroe will have the very first custom Find It game in existence. So I think that's pretty cool. And so it won't look exactly like that one. It will have all of the Monroe stuff in it. Every single person that is in the parade that put an application in, not every single person, but all the applicants in the parade will get one of these. All of our sponsors will get one. And they'll be for sale, too, so we encourage you to buy them. But it's really cool. He's actually been approached by Walgreens to be doing a custom one for them. He's working on doing a custom one for the Huskies and for the Seahawks and blah, blah, blah. But we will be the very, very first. So that's very cool. Take a look at it. And what else is going on in town besides the parade? So for those of you that are going to be in the parade, and if I haven't gotten a bio yet, I really do need that. Write that down. I need it, like, yesterday. Make sure I have that. Also, we are having pre- and post-activities, which I believe I've already brought up, but we will be having a beer garden, and we'll be having a climbing wall, and we'll be having these giant puppets, and face painting, and photo booths, and on and on and on. And so with that said, I encourage you to make sure that your friends come, and your families come, and your neighbors come. It'll be a hoot of a good time. It will go beyond the normal parade, so when the parade ends at that 1:30 time period, these other options will continue going until 5. All of the vendors will stay open until 5, and we're hoping to kind of sway the mass departure that goes over to the fairgrounds. Not that we don't want the fairgrounds to have those folks, we just want to keep them a little bit longer. So I'm hoping that over time we'll kind of retrain the community to hang out a little bit longer and maybe turn it more into a street fair, create more business in the downtown core, create more awareness for what's going on in town so that, yes, we want them to go to the fair, but we want them to stay a little bit longer and linger a little bit more in the downtown area. So that is coming up in 10 days. I'm sure you all have it on your calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we also have the Smokestack / Theme Stack. I've already brought this up to you all, too. But I wanted to let you know that we are on a schedule. I have a lift ready to go as of September 8th. That could change depending on their current use, if there's a weather issue or whatever, but it will be approximately the second week of September that the cleaning and the painting of the stack will begin. And after that happens, we will be having ribbon cutting, and we would, of course, love to have all of you present for that. So that will be happening more likely than not towards the end of September, but we don't plan on it taking longer than a week to actually paint. I will be taking all of the areas that you can vote right now. I'll be taking them down probably tomorrow and doing a final count by Friday. So we should know what will be painted on by this weekend. So, for those of you who get my newsletter, you'll know on Friday what it's going to be. If not, you'll have to wait till Monday when it comes out in the paper. I think Amy's going to have that. So, have that opportunity. And I'm not being timed tonight. Do I get as much time as I want?
No, you're being timed. It's right here.
I'll cover it up if I need to.
So this past weekend, I'm not sure how many of you are aware, but we had a massive equestrian event. It was the first of its kind. We had over 580 horses from around the world in Monroe. We had people here from Paris and from London and from Tokyo. We had people that have amazing horses that are world class, and they were here doing jumping and prancing and all the other horsey type things that you do. But the point is, they were here for a week. I have no idea what the economic impact on that was, but it will be an event that will happen twice a year. And there will be other events that will be happening along those same lines in the future. And definitely, it's a great thing for our community to embrace. These folks have a lot of money, and they think that we live in an absolutely breathtaking area, which we do. And I know that sometimes we can kind of get a little bit of blinders on because we're here every day. But when you have folks traveling from around the world to come to your community, it's an amazing thing. So I'm super excited about this, and I will keep you posted as I learn more as new events come around. But that did happen this past week. There were thousands of people that were here in town, and they were watching this event and showing their horses. And that was just right down the road. So next on your agenda, you're going to put down on your calendar October 19th, 20th, and 21st. The 21st is the best day because that's the 5K Bierstein run. Who doesn't want to run with beer? I think it's the greatest question ever. You're going to be given a stein to run your 5K. I just had surgery. I can't run, but I will be walking that. So those of you who want to walk, you can't give me the story that you don't know how to run or that you have a hurt foot or whatever the story might be. It will be a great event. It will be during Oktoberfest. So this event is run by a company called Festivals, Inc. They are out of Issaquah. They do the Bite of Seattle. They do the Bite of Tacoma. They have a lot of contacts. They started this event, same type of concept, in Puyallup approximately 5 years ago. When they began their event, it started off very small, and they're already up over 25,000-30,000 people that come. So this is only our second year. They're anticipating anywhere from 10,000-15,000 people to be up at the fairgrounds. Again, it will be the 19th, 20th, and 21st. We want to embrace our friends over the past in Leavenworth and let them know that we adore them, that we can have our own Oktoberfest.
September 21st, correct?
Correct.
Not October 21st.
Correct. Oktoberfest in September. I don't know why you can't keep that straight.
Septemberfest.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's very cool, too. I had a meeting a few weeks ago with a gentleman named Bill Weaver. He owns Canyon Creek Canyon Cabinet Company. And we've been working with him as well as other manufacturers, which we brought up at the Manufacturers Pipeline Summit. We have another meeting coming up September 11th. I would, of course, encourage any of you to attend that meeting. But in speaking with Bill, he is actually, just to give you a feel for what we need for employees in this area, he's desperate for anywhere from 35 to 40 employees right now, this week. Everything from entry level to management. I know I posted it. I've reached out to Everett Community College. And he's doing what he can on his side, but he honestly is having a huge struggle finding employees. So that's a great sign of what's happening here in our industrial park and with our manufacturers. And if it's one indication, because I only spoke with him, who knows how the other ones are right now, and that's what we're trying to gather during these meetings. But definitely good information. During the height, before our recession, he was over 1,000 employees. He dipped down to 212, and now he's working on moving up to 400 again. So he's definitely on an upward swing. He's very busy, and he's very happy to be part of our community as well. What else do we have going on? Oh, so I don't know if any of you heard, we did go to Darrington last week. We went to Darrington a few weeks ago. It was supposed to be a whole chamber mob concept. I had 6 or 7 different chambers that were all excited. We had a 12-seater bus. People were going to follow us up. And like all good parties, the day of, everybody canceled out on me. But we still had an amazing time. So we had a 12-seater bus with 4 of us on it, and which made it even more fun. So we had King 5 actually came up and met us in Darrington, and they filmed me and did a little discussion that apparently aired. I have not yet found it, but apparently it aired on King 5 or Como. But We hung out with the mayor all day, and we hung out with the business owners all day. We visited their breweries and their lack of restaurants, which they don't have any of. They have this amazing, just amazing feel for it. Just, it was a great experience. And if you haven't been up, I please encourage you to do so. If you need somebody to walk you through town, I can arrange that for you. I've invited Dan, the mayor, to actually be one of our judges for the parade. He's super excited. So he'll be down. You'll get a chance to meet with him. But we had an opportunity to meet people that truly touched you. So, for instance, one gentleman, he was opening up a saddlery. He has always had a hobby to work with leather. And when the slide hit, he was unable to go to work. He was a manager at Boeing. And so he wasn't able to get past and instead put his efforts into the slide. And during that whole conversation that he was having with himself while he was there for 14, 18, 20 hours a day, is why am I working at Boeing? And so he ended up leaving his job at Boeing to open the saddle company. And it is absolutely breathtaking work. It's absolutely beautiful. He does saddles, he does side bags, he does anything in leather. And he was actually opening that day that we were in town.
Cool.
And he's super excited to not be at Boeing anymore. And he's super excited to have had that kind of epiphany. As tragic as the events were, it put him in this amazing place. And we met a lot of people like that, which was really, really fun. And so again, I totally encourage any of you, all of you, to go up. We're actually going to be going up as a chamber to do a float on the river that first week of October on the Tuesday, I don't know what date is. And if any of you would like to come with us, I would love to have you on board. So we're going to be doing not a rafting because the river will be too low, but it'll be more of a float, looking at eagles, so on and so forth, planning on going up around 11, coming back around 5. So I do open that up to you. Am I?
10 minutes, 38 seconds.
I can keep blathering. Okay. Another thing to put on your calendar, and I think I'm not trying to imply that you all need to start running. That's not what I'm trying to do at all. But the next big event is a brand new event for Monroe. It's called the Sky River Classic. It used to be a fun run. I believe it was called the Monster Dash, and it happened at Lake Tai. Well, the Y has decided that they're going to shake that up a bit, and it's now going to be called the Sky River Classic. And it won't be at Lake Tai, it will now be through the downtown. It'll be going through downtown Monroe, going along the river. It will be a 10K, not a 5K, but there will still be a 5K, and there will be a fun run. So you don't have to be a three-year-old to do the fun run. Anybody can do that. But the idea here is to bring people into the downtown core, and I'm reaching out to all of the businesses to be open during that time period, offer hot tea or coffee or hot cider, maybe have some samples, snacks, discounts, because all the people that will be in town will be there to watch the runners. Last year, I want to say, Tanya told me that they had maybe close to 1,000 people at the Monster Dash, including all of their affiliated paparazzi that came. So there'll be at least that many this time, if not more, with the whole 10K thing. It kind of kicks it up a notch. There is a whole other league of runners. I don't run, obviously, but there are a whole other league of runners that would want to come to that event. So I'm anticipating that it will be a nice thing for our city core. And then another calendar event for you. This has never happened before either. In the past, November 29th has always been the small business shopping excursion day, and I did not want to take away from that by having the tree lighting on the same day. And that's always happened. We've always had the tree lighting on November 29th. So I've changed that date. And so November 29th will stay a shopping day. I've already put together, you all have our little Ride Here logos right there. So instead of Ride Here, it's going to say Shop Here, Buy Local. It will be a hot green. All of the businesses in town will have them. And that day I'm going to be inviting some vineyards in and some breweries to do some tastings. There'll be specials, not only with them, but with the local business community. It will be more of a Shop Here experience. Not only will it be in the downtown, it will be in the Kelsey area and down Highway 2. So I'm trying to get as many people involved with this as possible. But it will be a whole event for that day. And so that, of course, means that the tree lighting needs to now be a different day. So that will be December 6th. And instead of having it as we did last year, we're actually going to be shutting down East and West Main Street. And I'll be bringing in a bunch of food trucks. And we'll be having bonfires. And there'll be music and caroling and Santa Claus and on and on and on and on and on. So that will definitely be a lot of fun, too. So that's what's going on with the chamber right now.
If I can fill you in on anything else that I'm not thinking of, let me know.
Thank you very much, Una.
Thank you.
Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, I move that Councilmember Rasmussen represent the City Council at the 10K run. Thank you, right there.
Nice.
What day was that again, Una? The Sky Valley Classic?
October 25th.
Thank you.
Very important to get that down.
It's on my calendar.
I heard a motion. I think I heard a second there. I also think I heard a unanimous there. So
I'm on it.
Yeah.
Thank
it's
you.
Like a scramble in golf. We take the best time. So
exactly.
Jeff, no, thank
Jeff,
you,
Jeff, and Jeff.
I find it, game. I know you want to keep it, but whoever has it, okay. I don't know you guys are.
Thank you very much, Una.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the next person, the next item that we have on the agenda under presentation is H3O. We have Brad Smith here today and also Greg. Come on forward.
I'll have to ball.
Indeed.
Can
you
turn off
this button,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's got it.
Mayor Thomas, Council, thank you. We want to come in and give you an update on the propulsion cable park project. City staff, citizens, we want to come in and tell you more about it. I know there's a lot of people that have questions about the status, what the cable park is. We want to touch briefly on that. So I'll go into it here a little bit. So.
I don't think you've seen this page before, but this obviously is the logo devised for the park, the name. So a little bit more of the imagery that will be associated with the city.
So we want to touch on what it is, the partnership with the City of Monroe, the project update, and obviously we'll close out with any questions and keep within 15 minutes.
So we will start off.
Just point at me.
Point at you?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Hope you went too.
You're my new controller. So propulsion cable park, it's a 5-tower cable water sports park with an added 2-tower system. A cable park is, as most of you know, it towed water sports participants, say water skiing, wakeboarding, kneeboarding. It's 30 feet above the water, and the riders, it comes around and grabs you with a hook. So basically it'll grab at the top 30 feet up, grab a little ball, it's the end of a rope. So now you get pulled up like a boat, where you get pulled up behind the boat. This cable pulls you up and off the dock. So it's a lot easier to start than you'd have behind a water sports boat or a tow boat. How it works, these empty carriers, like I said, come around. This ball drops down. As a rider falls, the rope falls into the water, skips around. Now, a rope, the wakeboard rope, has a V in it. So to eliminate any sort of problems or any safety concerns, the V of a water ski or wakeboard handle that you see will then open up and go straight once there's no tension on the rope. So these ropes go around, once the rider falls, the hook picks it up, brings that handle down, the next rider goes off the dock. Now say the rider goes all the way around, there is an exit point and an entry point. Obviously the entry point is the start dock. Now when I first was introduced to the cable park, the biggest intimidation factor is you come up and there's riders that know what they're doing there. So it's a little scary to get on the dock and start out. We have a second cable, it's a 2-tower cable system. So once a client comes up, say they've never been there before, they have a friend that's maybe a beginner wakeboarder, we then take them down to the 2-tower system and teach them how to go. My first visit to Cable Park, Blowaway, Phoenix, Arizona, so excited to go, got on the dock as a proficient wakeboarder, and I was scared to start. I packed up my board and went all the way home. Well, with this, we wanted to make it a pleasurable experience where there's not that intimidation, and you'll see this at a lot of cable parks around the country now. The cable's driven by a virtually silent 37-kilowatt motor. It's an electric motor. It has different variable speed settings. Carrie Gendron, a local water skier in the community here in Monroe, she was very concerned that our cable park would not be able to tow water skiers. Well, it can. It will tow water skiers. We can open up at different times. Obviously, every rider that's on the cable at one time has to go the same speed, but we can have different hours where you go at different speeds and everything. Should I click on it? Yeah, give it a shot.
Nope. It's safe and fun for all ages. You know, I've been to cable parks all around the world, and you go, the first participant in the cable park that just opened up in Sacramento, it's called Wake Island Water Sports, was a 65-year-old gentleman. He prides himself. He was the first one to buy a pass. He's there every day. And Bob has become a staple of this cable park. It's amazing. But there's down to 6-year-olds. My daughter, it's her first, she's turned 6. I hope to have her out this year to cable. There's ski, snowboard enthusiasts. Obviously, there's a lot of crossover. Really, wakeboarding is snowboarding on the water.
and you look at wake skating, which is a bindingless wakeboard, is skateboarding on the water. So obviously there's a skate park right next door to our site, so there's going to be a lot of crossover between that. The Northwest is a towed water sports capital of the world. A lot of people think, well, this is crazy to come out and put a cable park in the Northwest. You look at 80% of the manufacturers are located right here in the Northwest, in within Washington. One of the manufacturers is even located over in the Freilands Business Park over there. That's in CNTRL, is the name of the company. People in the wakeboard industry call it Control Wakeboards, and they're located right here in Monroe. Cable park hours, they'll be within the hours. They'll be within the hours of the park. So in other words, the park's open from dawn till dusk. Obviously, we're not going to open at dawn because there's not going to be a lot of customers there, but they'll be within those hours. There's been some questions, and that's why I'm addressing some of these questions, is as to will there be lights. Well, obviously, there'll be no lights. You know, fortunately, our summers, their days are a little bit longer, so we are able to operate, you know, 8, 9 at night. But like any business, once you get to those fringe hours, too early or too late, you're not going to have the people walking in. You're not going to have the customers there. So we're, you know, as a partner with the city, you know, we're not going to be open during these odd hours. I'll click Brad one more time and see if it works. We're good. I'll let Brad touch on the additional activities that can be done at the propulsion site.
When you look at the business plan, which we've submitted, it's within the record of the documents, you'll see that in addition to attendance at the park, which is the main component of the revenue side of things, we do have other activities that will be draws, so rental of kayaks, paddleboards, and so forth will also be a component of that, as well as the rental of equipment. You can imagine with things in the water that resemble what you see on the skate park, these boards will get kind of beat up over time, so a lot of people like to actually not bring their own equipment out, but actually rent the equipment there. So again, an additional kind of benefit of kind of the way these parks work. On site, we aren't going to compete with the vendor that's currently a concessionaire in the park or the local vendors when it comes to the food and beverage side of things. We really wanted to offer just basic vending services to the people that are there. And of course, if we have certain special event days, we will try to partner in the end with the concessionaire and actually try to help her with her business as well. So we obviously, within the pro shop of the building itself, it's really set up to be just a home office, just an office, changing rooms for men and women, and a pro shop, and then a small rental space. So should we have group events or camps or, you know, again, things that we're doing where we're drawing groups of people to the park to help create new riders, which is the biggest part of that. But we've really come to find out through this longer process that that is really a huge component of this business opportunity, is to be able to attract corporate events, birthday parties, different church events, the YWCA, things like this that will partner with us to really create a lot of new riders. And then Greg touched on the other component, which is something you don't see in any other cable park in the U.S. currently. We do see it in Europe, but the ability to pair this with a winter ski season is a huge thing, because the people in the Northwest already know that we have a 150-day window typically for snow skiing and snowboarding. Those are the exact same people that will typically be involved in towed water sports. So certainly we're going to be working in conjunction with all the ski areas in the Northwest to pair up for this activity as well and draw them to Monroe. So again, the building itself, which I touched on, is a 2,500 square foot facility. We'll kind of get into a little bit more imagery that shows kind of how it's laid out. But in the end, it has the four components we talked about: the pro shop, the rental party area, the office, and then change rooms. So with, you see kind of an overview of the whole lake here, but really one of the key components of this that we really try to stay with from the beginning was to not take up a huge amount of the lake. So we are taking really 30%, and what you see is the white dotted line with the circles on it is really the perimeter of the actual park. There will be cables that are tension cables that will extend outside that, but they really won't impact anything else on the lake. We had to, through this process, we did need to change where the anchor points went to, and if you notice on the newest design that we'll show you, they all go to the shoreline, so there won't be any in-water anchors on the new design. And then you can see the main circular cable, the 2.0 system up on the top, and then the building and the parking area is kind of laid out. So two other things that are, again, part of our program, which most of you know, but I know when we talked to the mayor and some others, they weren't as familiar with what we included as far as parking improvements and an improvement to the bioswale. As we do the site work for grading in particular, we'll actually make an improvement to that and improve the water quality in the lake, both through the board action of putting oxygen in the water, but also through the filtering process as it's entering the lake. And then obviously the last thing is the the channel you'll see at the bottom, and one thing we always wanted to do is preserve as many and as much of the current activities at the lake as we could. So access to the boat ramp and the ability to channel, move up the channel to the other northern part of the lake will all be preserved in the design. So just to kind of take a step back, as we talked about the contract, obviously Zach's not here tonight, but you know, we obviously went through the long process of discussing the agreement and what that should look like, what it should be titled as. In the end, we came to a concessionaire agreement, is really what it's set up to be, where two components of it are a base rent payment and then a 2% of gross, which is really how it's set up. The term is set up as a 10-year with 3 5-year add-on options. And then, obviously, the pass-through, the emission tax that currently exists would be a pass-through, just as the sales tax would be at the park. So, very similar to, as you see at ski resorts, and some examples when it comes to the public-private entity that we've really created with this would be two of the parks in the U.S., Hydrus and Ski Brixen. And they are both very successful and been a great success for both the city and for the independent business.
Sure. So we're going to go through some of the accomplishments and the milestones we've come to. We've had our CEPRA. I'm sure a lot of you have been involved in this. CEPRA's approved. The Ecology and Shoreline Conditional Use Permit is approved. The 10-year lease, as Brad just spoke to, with 3 5-year options is obviously signed and executed. We're currently actually paying on the lease right now. The tower system configuration and the cable deposit has been placed. So in other words, we have all the necessary deposits put in. The towers themselves are made in South Korea. The cable, the motor, and everything else is made in Germany, so that the cable is shipped from Germany and the components. And then the features that go in the lake are also shipped from Germany or bought through Germany. The building, the parking grading designs, the deposit's been placed on the building. The building's been designed. We've had many meetings with the city to review that. The grading permit has been acquired. Building permits are in process. Army Corps Engineers is complete. And then we did mitigate with the Trumpeter Swan Society. There were some concerns during the migratory season of the trumpeter swans eating the cable. We obviously didn't want that to happen, so we went out and found an avian diverter that could be hung from the cable and easily removed and added to the cable, so it spins around in the trumpeter swans, because it's obviously being a big bird, we don't want to fly into the cables. You want to add anything to the slide, or is it?
No, I think everything's pretty current on there, and obviously we reviewed with Gene's help, keeping tabs on all the permit issues as we had to deal. The big delay that we had was obviously in relation to the Army Corps of Engineers, who initially ruled that they didn't need to look at it and then came back and decided that they did. So we had to take the time to go through that process. And the real challenge that was faced through that is with what's going on in government and the budgeting right now, their staff has been significantly diminished and everything has been backlogged. So it just took a lot longer than we would expect.
I'm going to touch a bit on the construction timeline. I know that's been a big question with the city, you know, people that are following the project and want to know. Our groundbreaking as set right now would be for late fall of 2014. The cable delivery would be mid-winter of 2015. Building completion, late winter of 2015. We do a soft opening, spring. You want to get things running about 30 days before. Obviously, May around here, weather can swing either way. So we're pretty open to that soft opening, but we hope to be ready to spin the cable, as they'd say, in spring of 2015. So grand opening, we're shooting for Memorial Day weekend, which is still, you know, it's a weather, but we'd be right around that window, so early June. And obviously, the season within a cable park, it's ironic, wherever you go to a warm climate, wherever you're at, it's the time kids are out of school. Memorial Day to Labor Day seems to be the window when the cable park business is the best. So it's right in line with our busiest season or our best season. One other question. So a lot of people, obviously I didn't put this on here, but things changed over the time. From the minute that we first presented to you from, you know, I was brought into the whole city of Monroe. We looked to locate our company in the Firelands Business Park that I worked for at the time, HO Sports. So we went over there, looked at the park. I was able to meet the mayor. We talked about the potential of bringing the pro wakeboard tour to the city, and that worked out great. And, you know, we just finished the fourth year this year of the pro wakeboard tour coming to Monroe. Great attendance this year. I believe you probably know a little better than me, but it's close to, I'd say, 7,500 to 10,000 participants or people there over the 2 days, I'd say. So attendance-wise, I was right in there. But our financial picture has changed over time. You know, when we first came in and presented to you, we had a great financial picture. We had people lined up. We had everything in place. You know, we had signed the lease, and we figured we were going. And then we ran into some hurdles. And since then, that changed out a little bit. Now, we have been able to go out and raise some money, and that's where we were building this timeline, want to come in here and give you where we're at.
in accordance to that. So, you want to add anything?
Put the image up real quick and show them.
Yeah. We have a couple images here. We put it into PowerPoint, but like we've run into in a couple of presentations, once you put it in PowerPoint, you can't read anything. You can't see it up here. So I kept them separate as PDFs, and I think it'll come up right there, Brad, those last three files down here. It seems to be a little easier to view on the projector. This one right here. I opened them for you so they weren't. There you go.
What do you want?
No, next one right there.
So this is the most current image of the entire lake and again, where the anchor points go to. Obviously, the real key component to this is, again, we're talking about a circular main cable driven by an electric motor at the dock that is virtually silent, and the 2.0 system above that is even quieter, frankly. And then within the parking lot area, we have contributed, obviously, additional parking spaces and kind of a redesign of where the turnaround is currently as a part of this, and I'll show that in a little bit more detail here. But in essence, taking up just a very little space there, and most of that area is obviously around the bioswale and kind of that big blackberry bush area. So we should see a really aesthetic improvement to that as well.
One reason we went away from the water anchors and we went to a land anchor is by going to a water anchor, with the amount of weight you have to offset, we were going to have to lower the plates down. So we'd have to bring a barge in the lake, lower each plate on top of each other. So it wasn't cost prohibitive, and it was a huge challenge. You'll see some of the other parks, they just pour concrete straight into the water. It's not the best way to do it. They'll form it up, lower it down the bottom of the lake. Well, here we'd have to lower the plates down. It just didn't work out for the site.
And we know that some of the concerns out there were dealt with noise, and one of the things about the building too, just know that, you know, I know people have impressions of, you know, speakers out there and loud music blaring and, you know, Eminem going crazy out there bending all the people. But in the end, just know that there will be no speakers on the towers, there will be no lights on the towers. Any sound will be confined to the building, right near the building also. And again, we're not talking about making loud music and creating that type of environment. So it's kind of important that people know what to expect, I guess, when it comes down to that. I know wave action was a concern too. Again, when people say about wakeboarding, this is not really wakeboarding. It's actually a cable park. So very different. You're not going to have that huge boat wake that you saw at the Pro Tour event. Whatever wakes are created are just by the boards themselves. So it is not, again, something that's going to impact shoreline erosion. And again, that's been done through the studies too. So, and then I'm going to show you.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Right.
If you
want to
show two other images here.
This is, again, a little bit of an increase, but it shows that the main channels for the boarding. So you'll see right and left that the cable would be from off the starting dock, would be kind of the reach of the riders themselves as they circle around the preserved channel on the west side of the lake, and then the 2.0 system in the middle. And you can kind of then see the design of the parking lot and how it's just slightly reshaped. One of the other things that we're really trying to do is help that bike path, too. So instead of having to go into the parking lot and cut through the parking lot to connect up to the other side of the path, this actually is now connected with a paved pathway that goes along the beach area and connects in outside the parking lot.
So it comes right through here, next between the building and the skateboard park, connects right back up and connects here. Versus now you come down, you negotiate this little intersection here, cross, and then come back in.
And with the improvements to the bioswale, we're also putting in a clean out. So the little driveway that was part of that improvement that is made that allows that bioswale to be cleaned out periodically to, again, long-term create a better water quality in the lake. All right, Brad. So we actually see some of the 3D imagery, too, up to here. So I don't know if you wanted to touch on that. But you will see this small dock. This actually is the little dock that you see between the two cables. And that's just a return dock that people can swim to and walk back. It will diminish wave action between the two riding areas as well, so improving the quality for the riders. And then you'll see a very large dock space, and we'll show you a better image of that here in just a minute.
Are we within our 15 minutes? Are we
okay?
So this is obviously the blow up of the dock area in the lightest color. The middle terrace, which is a different grade change between the level of the building, which is at the skate park level, and about halfway between that and, again, just above the surface of the water would be the dock that's created. Two starting areas on that dock, and obviously that's typically where the people will be waiting to go ride. There will be an observation area, obviously slightly above, and again, for groups and so forth, they'll be able to use that space in the middle. But in the end, just great access. You'll see a wheelchair ramp that goes down from the building along the side, and it takes a better than 90 degree turn to come down to the dock area so it's accessible to all.
I think that's it.
Yeah. I don't think there's any questions about kind of layout and design.
Any questions, Council? Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. Totally excited. Can't wait. You know. So can't wait for next May. And again, appreciate the public-private partnership of this, which makes it work. I'm going to certainly be one of the down and back type of guys. Is there a plan for, they're going to open at the same time, you know, open one in advance, or is soft opening both the loop and I'll call it the train and run. I don't know what the term you used for the down and back, but
the two-way train will be open with the same hours. Yeah. Okay. So we'd staff appropriately to where full.
I'm just thinking more of grand opening. Is one? Are they both going to open at the same time, like grand opening
for
type
sure.
thing?
Yep. The whole park will open.
So kind of all at one time. Very good.
Yeah. And we'd like to approach it since the way the timeline is working now, we really see an opportunity for pre-sale season passes. In advance of opening, which would be a great thing for drawing people to the community and actually committing to come to the community
right.
multiple times over that first summer in particular. So that's one thing we'll be aggressively trying to do to really draw those people out, take advantage of both learning a new cable
yep.
they've never done it before, or obviously getting right on the main cable and trying it. But as a general business, we really will be targeting the novice people for the most part. We're not going to cater to necessarily the professional riders and let them do everything. We really want to generate that base of ridership and really teach people to ride cables, because that's the whole idea. This really is to now allow people to do a sport that they could not participate in previously.
So you'll see us at the Seattle Boat Show. We'll have a booth, similar events, somewhere where you pull people into this, you know, from snowboard shows, ski shows, all that.
And then finally, I just wanted to comment on the potential partnership with some of the ski resorts. A partnership with Stevens Pass would be fantastic. I mean, what a great way to. I mean, if you could buy a pass for one, maybe it was good for both, you know, that kind of a thing. That's a fantastic idea. So I certainly hope that if that's something you're working on, I certainly hope that comes to fruition.
It
that'd be great.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Stevens Pass, I think we count out 16,000 season passes there alone. So you can
yeah.
imagine how Mount Baker, Pawnee, all the others, and you could include them with who you target market.
Indeed.
Whether you partner with them or not, that's a market you can actually go right to and say, come see us. So it's really going to be a huge opportunity for us to draw a lot of people.
I'm a two-planker on the slopes and in the water, so I look forward to learning how to do something different. So thanks.
Councilmember Kemp. I'm sorry, Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thanks. Yes, I'm very excited as well. Can't wait for the opening. Observation, wonderful about having the paddle boards and things to rent. My summer down there so far, we keep saying, oh, I can't wait till there's something to rent to paddle around and play in the water. Just one question. On the cables that are going to the anchors that are going to land, how is that, like, could you go back one slide, Brad, on the, yeah, there. Like, say this here. This is an anchor over here.
Mm-hmm.
So how, like, is that underwater? Is that up in the air?
It's up in the air. It's
okay.
up approximately, it's about 12 feet from water's surface. I could be a little wrong. Could be a little, give it 2 feet either way.
Okay.
And so what it allows for is, you see that it's, they call it turn number two or tower number two. So you don't count the start dock. Start dock's tower number five.
Okay.
So tower number two, the one that's in the middle of the lake, there's actually an island out there in the lake, or a sub-island, I'd say. It's about 2 feet under the water. So you watch the way the wakeboard boats, when they're out there, when they pass from the middle of the lake closer to the drive and, you know, to the Freilands Business Park because of that island. So where that tower is located is right where that island is underneath. And we think it's from when the excavator's there. We did a bathymetric study at the bottom of the lake. We think it's where the excavator, when they drug all the material out of the lake, that's where the excavator was last stationed. And then they move the excavator off from there. So this still will allow for the wakeboard boats to pass for the event and all that.
To answer your question, though, the tie-down points, and most of them are actually going to be on a pylon because we don't want to be able to access them and reach them.
Sure.
So in position, typically well above where anybody can reach, and that's what we'll be anchored into.
Okay, yeah, because I was thinking of over here on this side of the... Because the swimming beach is here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if people are going to... paddle or swim in that lane,
It'll be over
I'm just wondering how high, you know, above their heads.
Well,
yeah, you could touch it.
Yeah. And there'll be a buoy line on the perimeter of the actual wakeboard area.
And you can see that in that image where it's dotted to the outside.
Yeah, I saw that. Great, thanks.
Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Thanks for coming tonight. Like the other two council members, I'm excited about this too. I've been looking forward to it. A couple of questions. Where's the bioswale going to be located?
Right. That's probably, Brad, you can see it in this best picture.
Right there? Okay.
It sits right there.
And that's the building next to it?
Right there. Yeah.
And the motor's going to be located in the same area, right?
The motor actually sits on the tower. The motor for the cable itself?
Yes.
It's up on the tower. So it's a smaller.
But it's going to be in this corner, right? Where the building is?
You can actually see in the middle image right here, the 3D image, it actually shows it right up here. Yeah.
Okay, but that's next to the building.
That's where the motor sits, yeah.
But that's near to the building, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I was curious about placement, whether it was going to be at the far corner. That had been something that had been discussed some time ago, or whether the motor would be closer to the building itself.
It's interesting, a lot of people come in and they think that there's a, it's electric. The actual control module in our building is about the size of the pedestal here.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes in the closet in the building. That's where all electronics are housed.
Right.
But the motor that actually drives the cable is up on the tower of the cable. And it's no bigger than... It's a commercial... It looks like a commercial motor out of a driver.
Right.
So it's nothing that's very large. And it's obviously handled weather because they've been in Germany since the 80s. Or I'd say even earlier than that. I think it's the 70s when the first cable park was built.
Okay. Two motors then. One for the two-point.
Yep.
One for the...
And then the two-way cable motor is even smaller. It's definitely something out of your home washer dryer, that size.
Late fall.
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
And it's really one of these projects where once people go to it, there's even been supporters here within the community that go to a cable park, this park in Sacramento. They go there and they're wakeboarders, and all of a sudden they pull up and they go, I get it. This is amazing. You know, until you go and see it, it's amazing. So if you're ever in the chance, if any of you are in Sacramento, or in the, there's two actually in Sacramento. One's in Woodland, and I believe the other one's in Rockland proper. So they're within miles of each other. They both started their project at the same time. One finished a few months after the other. But that's probably the closest park, whole cable park, besides Texas. Texas would be the next closest. There's 24 parks now. I believe when we first presented to you, I want to say we said there was 16 to 18. It was right in there within that window. There's 24 parks that have opened since then. So I'd say approximately 8 parks have opened since we first presented.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Gentlemen, appreciate you coming for giving us an update. It is interesting to see this. So I guess just to clarify, the new version, the new mapping here, the towers that are going to be on the west side of the shoreline, so initially those were actually in the water. They weren't touching the shoreline, correct?
The towers themselves are in the water.
Okay, but the anchor points. Okay, and before that was, it wasn't touching the shore then.
There's only two anchor points that didn't touch the shore before in the first image. We actually have the first image here.
Yeah, you don't
mind. In our PowerPoint presentation.
Okay.
There was the end anchor on tower number 2, and then the beach anchor on tower number 4 down here.
Okay.
We had a 6-tower system where we went to a 5-tower system. The parks I just told you about in California are both 5-tower parks. So a 5-tower park, obviously by going to a 6-tower park, you round out each corner. So a rider can come around and it rounds out the corner for, say, a beginner. You know, so the first corner, you always want 3 towers in the corner. The second tower, a lot of riders prefer a 2-tower for your second because you can do an air trick. Now it's kind of like riding on a rope swing. If on the cable, if you cut out away from the cable, your rope becomes shorter, so that's how you get your air, that's how you jump. So you go back and forth like that. Well, having that second, or it's actually tower number 4, where it's that 90-degree corner, it allows them to jump right there. Now, as a rider, as you're progressing, sorry if I'm answering this a little too in-depth, but you learn very quickly, even as a beginner, you want to fall towards tower number 4 or tower number 5, where the starting dock is, because it's a shorter swim and a shorter walk to shore. Most riders, and we'll set up our features that way, are going to try tricks or try anything adventurous right there. So that's why we made it a rounder corner on the outside. So the
water anchor thing became a bit of a challenge logistically to get them positioned correctly in the water. And they also impeded some of the other activities that we talked about, like the hydroplane races that they do down there, and the access to that channel. So you've got to make sure you preserve that channel and straddle over the top of the cable without having it impacted. These things all became a little bit of a challenge to work out logistically, but we were able to do it by making the changes Greg talked about.
We had an acre coming out right here, and it landed right in the middle where they did the RC boat races. So we wanted to eliminate that, keep it, and it opens up that whole swim area.
Okay.
So there's not one cable going down there.
And so with the revisions of the tie downs and everything, that, to be clear, is still going to allow the events that we still have existing, the triathlons, the wakeboard tour, everything still to continue, right? This isn't going to, the new design is not going to impede on any of that then.
Finney is meant to address it even better.
Okay.
The triathlon typically would be done, you know, swimming's the first leg in a triathlon, so it's
sure.
done before we would ever intend on opening anyway, so it worked it perfect in the plan.
Sure, okay. Well, gentlemen, thank you again for the update.
Councilmember Davis.
Yeah, you talked a little bit about water quality. Can you touch on the bioswell and what the condition is now and what the advantage to what you have planned would be for that?
Well, to my understanding, that it was originally created to create a channel that swerved back and forth before the water came out of the outflow pipe, moved into the little well area there, and then would flow into the lake. At some high water event, somehow that was impacted, and the water began to flow directly through. So it really, as we understand it, has not been very functional for some time now. So what we recommended doing was actually creating kind of a filter point with it would be created out of rock, and this was done by Carmson locally here too, to design this, but it creates a different type of outflow that will be more effective about filtering. And it should be easier to maintain, especially with the driveway that's created, because now they can actually go in and actually scoop it out with a backhoe and clean it periodically to remove a lot of that debris.
The silt or the sediment would set in that first pond. And that's how it was designed. It would set in there, then go through, and actually planted grasses where the blackberries and the alder trees are right now. And you can see it. It kind of... It meanders through there, and it was to exit. Like Brad said, it just blew it straight out from the holding pond straight to the lake.
You all probably know there's a pretty significant water change when you talk about the 100-year floodplain there, and I can see how that can easily have been overcome at any point, really. So this should be a much more effective way of handling that. And again, I know flood abatement was one of the other issues we had to deal with the building as well because of where the building sits. So all these things were part of the discussion about how we could best design something that would both improve the site and you know, allow the lake to improve. You know, obviously the other component of that is actually the boards on the water. And although it's not a huge amount of washers putting in, but again, that I know you guys put a fountain out there because it had to be addressed at some point. Put that oxygen in the water. So clearly this is just another way of creating that water action that should improve as well.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments, council members? Okay, seeing none, thank you both very much for
Thanks
coming
so much
out this
thank
evening.
You.
Thank you.
Very
thank
much.
You.
Okay, and before I begin, I'm going to apologize ahead of time. We have an attorney that will be calling in at 8:15, and so we will be going into executive session just before 8:15 so that we can accommodate that phone call. So if I have to interrupt things midstream, everybody's forewarned, if you will. The next item that we have on the agenda is a public hearing. This is AB 14102, ordinance number 008-2014, adopting new interim sign code regulations. Paul?
Thank you, Mayor. Tonight is a public hearing to give people a chance to offer comments on the latest extension of the interim sign regulations, which is also the last extension of the interim regulations. I think you write it back in July, and they now expire in October, and we're planning to have permanent sign regulations back to you by mid-September, next month, mostly related to some final tweaking on political signs. But I'd be happy to answer any specific questions, either now or perhaps after the public hearing. Mayor, your pleasure.
Council members, do you have any questions before we move to the public hearing? Nope. We now open the public testimony portion of our public hearing. This is a time for anybody to come forward and speak on this proposed ordinance. Would anybody like to come forward? Usually we have a sign-up sheet. That's what I was looking for. And do we have anybody signed up? No, we don't. If anybody would like to come forward and give any testimony, please do so now. Anybody? Anybody? Okay, seeing none. Councilmember Gehring?
I move to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Gehring. I have a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Council? Any discussion? Okay, seeing no discussion, I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing. Councilmember Camp.
I move that we close the public hearing.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Camp, and was that a second from Councilmember Rasmussen? Okay. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. All right. Were we going to adopt this evening as well?
It's just the public hearing.
This was the public hearing. Okay. Oh, that's right. Thank you. All right. We are now going to move on to comments from citizens. User error up here. Try that again. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Do we have anybody that signed in? Okay. Is there anybody that would like to come forward and speak to council? Anybody? Okay. Seeing none, we're going to go ahead and move on now to the consent agenda. Again, the executive session that is marked on there, we will come back to at 8:15. Okay. We're on the consent agenda. Councilmember Rasmussen?
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Okay. I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen. I have a second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. The next item is new business. It's AB 14-103. Authorize the Mayor Pro Tem to sign the 2014 Evergreen State Fair Traffic Control Services Agreement. I ask that the city clerk note my recusal in the official minutes for the meeting for this item. The reason for my recusal is that I am employed by the contracting party, Snohomish County. My position with the county is that of an employee, and my compensation consists entirely of fixed salary. There is no contingent component of my compensation package. Pursuant to RCW 42-2304-0, and based upon consultation with the city attorney, I accordingly have at most a remote interest in the agreement and am recusing myself from participation in this matter.
Please note the mayor has stepped out of the chambers. Council will entertain a motion or discussion. Go ahead.
I'll make a motion to authorize the mayor pro tem to sign the general services agreement with Snohomish County Evergreen State Fair for traffic control services during the 2014 Evergreen State Fair and expressly authorize further minor revisions as deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion? No discussion. Call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say aye. Motion passes 6-0. Would someone let the mayor know that he can come back?
Okay, I see that there's a light on from Councilmember Rasmussen. That was probably for a motion. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. The next item that we have on the agenda is final action. This is AB 14-104, approval of ordinance number 009, 2014, adopting permanent marijuana-related land use regulations. This is final reading. Paul.
Tonight to a second and final reading on our marijuana regulations. The Planning Commission needs to reconsider or consider again their recommendation from 2013 and have forwarded a recommendation for adoption of permanent regulations and also included their findings and conclusions related to this new ordinance so that we've really covered the entire extent of the approval and regulatory process with this. Nothing has changed with the regulations. If anybody wants to see the map, I know we had some earlier correspondence about that. That one I can put up on the screen.
Well, can you put the map up on the screen, please, since it's different? Thank you.
Yeah, the map has not changed from the previous mapping. It was some time ago that we added the this circle based on the preschool that's located here. That was the last change that we made with this. So it does leave this as retail. There is actually additional retail now here with this property being zoned, at least for now, general commercial. So actually that is one change that shows up. A little bit of retail along Highway 2, production here just west of Walmart, and processing here by the fairgrounds and in Fryland. So I think you're pretty familiar with that. But permanently adopting these regulations will basically give us the basis we need for permanent control of the zoning aspect. And as you know, we also have the business law legislation that we adopted. Even if I find a location willing owner or landowner or landlord that meets the zoning requirements, there will still be that hurdle of the business license that we will not issue with our current code. Happy to take some questions or comments.
Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, so just to clarify, this is our safety net in case for some reason it is ever ruled that we cannot ban it outright.
That's right.
Okay.
The zoning is based on pretty solid state law.
Sure.
And it is not really, I don't think it can be litigated.
Is there a way for us to easily add in reference to your email earlier today about private parks, so that's taken into consideration as well? Thinking of myself as if I was a homeowner near a private park that didn't make it on the map, I could see how I could be upset if that was the case.
That could be a problem if you're in a residential area that abuts a, say, commercial area, maybe just a little bit north on Chain Lake. Could be a conflict there. There's a fairly close distance to a potential retail sales. I'm not clear if acting as a local authority that we can add to that list of buffers or those avoid points like schools and libraries and so forth. That's I honestly don't know the answer to that. That does not have the same basis in RCW or in state law that these adopted buffers do have.
Sure.
But it might be a question worth asking for in case we decide to come back and make a change. And we're also going to be monitoring any new businesses that come in that could potentially affect the mapping on this. But not businesses so much as schools or other public uses that would be a point to avoid and have to buffer.
So I think I would be I would be okay, you know, approving this like we've talked about, with the knowledge that let's do a little bit of research, you know, and see about the possibility of in the future adding on the private parks concern. That's my thoughts.
Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. I thank you, Councilmember Hanford. Paul, I appreciate you answering my question earlier. I noticed that the park there at Lord's Lake is not on there as well, and I believe that is the HOA-owned park there along Freelance Boulevard. Is curious, along the same lines, we can, you know, if there's a state law that says, you know, if it's just not, you know, legally in our favor, obviously, you know, we don't want to rock the boat. I mean, I'm all in favor of moving forward tonight, but we can at least look into it over the course of the next, you know, as new businesses come in, that, you know, that'd be great. I'd be in support of that as well. And if it's just not possible, then that's fine too. I think you touched on the other thing that I was wondering about. So let's say another, you know, a school opens up or a preschool, one of the things, because I noticed, you know, like the Y has that, and they have that's a one of the red areas there as well. And then there's the city parks, obviously. So a new business comes in, we don't need to necessarily revisit this. You just update the map at
that's
that
right.
time, right? So we don't have to come back and vote on it all over again. It's just
that's right.
it just takes
vote does not change.
Good. All right. So from that standpoint, we might get an updated map. Hey, there's a new business. Here's your new map. Kind of an update type of a thing, but there's no further action.
The map does come along with as referenced in the ordinance, but it does come along with the code section.
Very good. Very good.
The point that you raised about the park and Golden Lane, which is
yeah, it's real tiny, but it's definitely there. Yeah. It's right above the green, so a little farther down from there, about to your left.
Somewhere, which would have potentially
it's about right where your thumb is right now. Yeah, it's right where your thumb is.
If it's down
right,
in here,
that's it right there.
Potentially taking out some of this retail.
Yeah, that is exactly where it is.
Chain link, and there may be other instances where that would happen if private parks were included.
But from a community standpoint as well, people might not understand the difference. Hey, the park's a park. But there is a difference between a public park because it's a city park and something that's private okay. because the city owned it, so the city can create a buffer, and there may be an issue with the private park. So I do appreciate the clarification, but I agree. Let's look into it over the next few months. You know, I know you have a lot of other things on your plate, but that'd be great if we could. So
yeah. It's a pretty easy one to find.
Okay, great. And again, if there are no other lights on, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to adopt ordinance number 009-2014, adopting zoning regulations to be codified in Chapter 18.7 MMC, marijuana-related uses, as sections 18.70.030 and 18.70.040 to zone for state licensed facilities, adopting findings in support thereof, providing for severability, and establishing an effective date.
Second.
Thank you. I have a first from Councilmember Gehring. I have a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is Councilmember Reports. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, I've been to 3 concerts at the park, and gotta say I've seen Mike a couple times down there, and gotta say it's been a great variety, from classical to rock and roll to country, and good sized crowds, and very enjoyable nights. I've also been to the National Night Out. That was a great time, seeing everybody there, and the place looked great. I think everything was running smoothly. Didn't hear or see any problems. As usual, a great success. Kudos to everybody that's in the police department and the parks department. Doing a fantastic job. So, looking forward to movies Under the Moon, I think they call it, right? Going to bring the girls to see Frozen this Friday night.
And I think I heard at the beginning of the meeting that we have a larger screen coming.
Nice.
Yes. I talked to you about that last year. I remember that. Wonderful.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Yeah, a lot of the same. And our parks have been hopping the last few weeks. It's been outstanding. Movies, music, nationally out. The Tri was last weekend, Tri Monroe. Phenomenal turnout. Always a blast to go down there and watch. And, you know, everything from elite athletes to, you know, not so elite. So it is just outstanding to watch. Look, one event I look forward to every year. So I'm looking forward to hearing from Brad and Mike on the success of all the events that we've had out there so far. But then I guess I got committed to doing a run come October. So,
that was September.
Do it twice.
September Fest. Right?
That one too.
Beer run?
The beer run. Yeah.
I'll commit to that one too.
Wonderful.
Why not? But October, so I'll just throw out the challenge to the rest of the council, then now you got to join me. So
there we go.
October 26th, plenty of time to get those
to get
running
the
shoes warm. That's all I have.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Just trying to picture you towing me in a wagon. It's the only way I'd be out of agree. There's a lot going on in town. I was fortunate to be able to go on another ride-along with the police department, and I want to thank Sergeant Dunn and for just explaining all the changes that have been occurring with the police department. Quite a change since the last time I went. And Officer Cornish, who gave me a tour of a recent drug bust, and I have never seen actual paraphernalia and drugs, I mean, other than what you see on TV. So it's really interesting. So thank you for that. I also am developing apparently a taste for our speedway. I attended the Figure Eight Nationals, last Saturday. Incredible. I was on the edge of my seat watching how close those cars were coming.
Totally.
And would encourage people to. Yeah. It's such a thing that we have in our town that I think it's underrealized in some cases, but it's just incredible. And just seeing the impact, talking to people there, the locals who go there or come into town, or actually people from out of town who come in, have dinner, go up there and watch the races. It's a lot of fun. Anyway, so that's it. Thank you.
Councilmember Davis.
I don't have anything, but I need to take this opportunity to let you know I won't be here the next two meetings.
Okay, you will not be here the next two meetings.
19th and the 26th.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah. So there is a ton going on in the in the parks, and also now the Boys of Fall are now practicing again. Football is upon us, and now the school parks are filling up as well. And what was great was the boys have been playing. The Monroe Youth Football has been playing for the last third week of full day practices. Prior to that was a football camp up at the high school. We got a new football coach, for those who didn't know. Mm-hmm. Came from the Tri-Cities, I believe. Mm-hmm. Everyone's real excited. He's completely linked in with the Monroe Youth Football. Down to the youth level, look at the same plays. He's been Absolutely. Out at Pee-wee. His son's a Pee-wee football, plays Pee-wee football. So he's out at Pee-wee's and 89ers, which is the 8 and 9-year-olds and the juniors and the Phantoms. He and his staff have been completely involved. The high school boys have been involved. It's just been a great, it's been nice to, a change. So it's been great from the parks perspective. This last, weekend, the team went out and did a run around the Lake Ty together and then jumped in. And it was just great to have that as an asset and for everybody to meet there. So Jamboree is this weekend. It's in Snohomish. We hope to get that back here soon. We had it here a couple of years ago, but we are a stone's throw away from football's being up at the high school every, not just Friday nights, but Saturdays all day up there. So it's upon us, and the Seahawks play. The 21st is that run? Is that what I heard?
21st.
You mean for the first?
Yeah. I think September 21st.
For the
Sundays, if it's Sunday, it's the 21st. The five beer, the beer run.
Oh, the beer run.
21st.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
That's Broncos Seahawks. Just
you have DVR.
DVR the beer run. Yeah.
DVR. Figure out a way to get something out there for that run, so we can be watching that game as we're running. Huh?
Absolutely. Yeah.
There we go.
Nachos and chicken wings too.
There we go.
Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. Lots of stuff going on. Just echoing the excitement of that for certain. And to get specific, the actual first home game for the Bearcats is September 19th. Mm-hmm. Their first two games are away. I think it's Oak Harbor and then Stanwood are the first two. But it's Snohomish, I believe,
yeah,
is the first
Snohomish.
Home game on the
yes.
19th.
It is.
And, which is, of course, the rival. It's the rival. So it's fun to tailgate. We always do it. We always have a lot of fun out there and get there early and of course, you know, put a blanket down on the seat, save a little spot. Hopefully, it won't be raining. So, really looking forward to it. Great, just a great time of year and a lot of fun going on. Thank you.
That's good. The time right now is 8:10. He's due to call in at 8:15. Why don't we use this as a natural breaking point? It would be appropriate to go ahead and say that we're going to be moving into executive session here in the next couple minutes. We will stay in this room because we do have somebody calling into this room, which means you can wait out in the lobby, and then we'll open up the doors when we're done. So now I'll go ahead and read what the attorneys would like me to read. We're going to be going into executive session for approximately 5 minutes for potential litigation, RCW 42-30-110, subsection 1, subsection little I, subsection little double I. And, sound good? Thank you. Oh, with action to occur following executive session. Okay, we're back in session. We left off at council member reports. We're now moving into staff and departmental reports.
I would like to thank all of the city members and especially Mike from Parks. National Night Out was a very good event. We saw a lot of people there and it turned out very nicely. A special thanks to the mayor for making snow cones. He probably got 1,000 in that night. Mm-hmm. Citizens Academy coming up in September. Its applications are on the website. If any of the council members who have not attended previously are available, that would be great. And we encourage you to come and find out a little bit more about what the police department is doing. That was it.
Thank you, Deputy Chief Kennard. Brad.
Okay, if you haven't driven down the hill in Blakely Street, that's all done and it looks very nice. Mm-hmm. It will be striped. We have to wait 21 days after they put the asphalt down so that the oils in the asphalt don't dissolve the paint, so it actually stays on the road. North Coast Roundabout is moving along very nicely. They will be doing the final lift of asphalt next week.
Nice.
No, the week after. No, we can be a team. Yeah, we can be a team. To be done in time for the parade, so they can leave town for a while. The light poles aren't coming yet, so they'll be back later to do light poles and the light pole. After the fair, the screen just went away. Back. I don't know if I had mentioned that they repaved Friends Boulevard and Main Street. I've been there for a couple weeks. And then also that's going to be striped, and we're changing the striping a little bit on Main Street to make wider bicycle paths, lanes on both sides, so it actually is a legal bicycle lane instead of just a wide spot. So that will help with all the bicycles going down the road. And that's everything I'm going to tell you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Brad. Paul.
Nothing much new to report. We're still very busy. I saw Rick Hansen today. G-Link Estates, they expect to be paving within about 2 weeks. And I think he wants to be able to get the full building permits the minute that that the access and so forth is available and approvable for maybe six houses. So the last activity is to make an opposition pretty soon. Not letting still go on.
Thank you, Paul. All right, for me, had a busy last couple of weeks. Couple of highlights. I was at National Night Out. In addition to a few thousand people, the numbers have ranged from 4,000 to 6,000 people, depending upon who you talk to. There were a number of staff members there. It appeared that the whole police department was there. Brad was there, Paul was there, Vince was there, Melissa was there, Mike was there. There were a lot of folks there.
Vince's wife
was there. So it was great seeing all the staff there and taking part in this. It was also great to see, you know, great to remember that this is put on by nonprofits in town, the Rotary being one of the big components to that, and so my thanks goes out to that organization as well. The other thing too, I just as Una had mentioned, out on Tester Road beyond the high school is a new equestrian center, and I was able to go out to that on Friday night. It was pretty cool walking down the line of cars because I got there so late. It was a long walk to where I went to. There were Canadians there. There were people from Idaho and Las Vegas and California. And these are the license plates that I saw. You know, there were people from far and wide there. One of the things, and you know, I've been to a number of the races also, just like Councilmember Camp. One of the things that I keep hearing is that we really need to have more hotels here in town. So as we're working on the comp plan update and then the subsequent land use regulations, that's something that I continuously hear is we need more hotels here in town. People come to the 12-day fair. People come to the races. People are coming to horse events and the wakeboard events and whatnot. And people are staying for the horse event, there are people staying at SeaTac and coming up here to it. But we're losing a lot of potential overnight stays here to other cities, and that's too bad. So that's something that we need to look for in our comp plan update. The other thing too, staff is having a staff appreciation barbecue this coming Thursday. I believe it starts around 11:30. If there are any council members that think are going to be able to make that during a weekday, can you put your hands up? We don't necessarily know what the notice requirements are, but do any of you anticipate being able to take time off from your... Okay.
I might be able to.
Okay.
I responded back with unable to attend.
Okay. All right. Okay. So it doesn't look like we are looking at a potential quorum by any stretch, so... Okay. Yes, Councilmember Camp.
But we do appreciate the city employees.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Indeed, absolutely.
Yes. All right. Okay. Let's go ahead and move on to Gene.
Draft agenda for August 19th, 2014. We're announcing some presentations. We have the Monroe High School presentation. Lombardi will be here. We have the proclamation for Monroe Fair Days. We have executive session for labor negotiations, and I would like to inform council that Scott Snyder will be here acting as our attorney as well. So, okay. The consent agenda under unfinished business, we have the city web social media policy or presence options, excuse me. And then under new business, we have the Monroe Public Defense System brief. Draft agenda for August 26th, and I inadvertently missed the Legislative Affairs Committee under council member reports.
Okay. Thank you. And for the extended, does council have any additions or deletions from the proposed draft agenda? Seeing none, let's go on to the extended. And we do show that Councilmember Davis will be out on the 19th and the 26th. Are there any other members that will be out in the foreseeable calendar?
If we have a need for a fifth meeting in September, I won't be there. But okay. I don't. If we get that close and we would somehow need a meeting there, we can figure that out that time. But yeah, other than that, I'm good. Thanks.
Yeah, I have a few business things tentative, but I'm trying to reschedule.
Okay.
Nothing at this time.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Shane.
That's it.
All right, is there anything else you'd like to see on the extended agenda that is missing, or do you have any questions about anything on the extended agenda?
If I may.
Yep.
We used to have a two-sided note. I know it does go out a few months. At this point, we're going to start getting into budget and things like that. If we mm-hmm. can see through the end of the year, mm-hmm. it'd be my preference to be able to see through the end of the year mm-hmm. for the rest of the year.
Yep, we can certainly do that.
If that's at all possible, I'd appreciate that.
We have an extended agenda that we use that is double-sided, I believe, that we looked at on Thursday.
And I appreciate the saving the ink and everything. It's just, you know, mentally it just gives, okay, that's right, that's November, and okay, that's December, and all that, so we're getting in there, right, so, yeah.
Gene.
Thank you, Mayor. One thing I wanted to let council know that the mayor and staff have been working on is a follow-up chart similar to this, where when council members ask questions of staff or other items come up that we want to keep track of, we now have a system in place that we're tracking all those types of items. So if we have, by chance, forgot something that council asked for, and you see it here or haven't heard for in a while, please let the mayor or myself know so we can put it on that chart. And we're going to, it'll be a continuous document, so things will go away.
Councilmember Gehring.
Again, I appreciate it. Thank you, Mayor, for recognizing me again. We had had... earlier in the year, a little bit like the regular project reports.
Yes.
That kind of a thing. There's also, I know we're not privy to, nor do we need to be necessarily, all the every single application that comes in. Sometimes there's discussion around town, like Applebee's was bantered about, and you know, I talked to people in that parking lot, and you know, a lot of people may, in fact, know more than we do, that kind of a thing. Without further burdening staff, is there a way to, if there's a notable, I would consider that to be notable, if there's like a notable, council, just letting you know that, you know, this person at least, you know, had a pre-app or may be interested in coming to town, things. I'd love to have at least, you know, a little bit of a heads up. Again, I know everybody's busy, a lot of stuff to do, but if there's a convenient and easy way to maybe notify council or just kind of stuff like that, hey, you know, whatever, Company X, but we'll just say it happens to be Applebee's. Hey, you know, and here's where they're thinking. Doesn't have to be finalized. I don't. There's already a lot to do, and I understand that. I don't want to further burden staff with stuff like that. Any kind of information like that, and again with the project list, if there's some way to maybe incorporate that in there, I'd find that helpful. If there's an easy way to do that, without, don't need every single little one, but you know, something that might be considered notable, and to me that would be one of those where, you know, a new restaurant of a national recognition, you know, showing up, something like that. So. Anyway, a suggestion. Thank you.
One of the things that we're going to begin doing here, I think this week, is we're going to be, we have a computer database that allows us to enter in information related to permit applications and entitlement applications and pre-apps. And so we've decided that we're going to customize it instead and use an Excel spreadsheet. We're going to be looking at that over the next couple weeks, and we'll see if we can find ways to highlight important things. Because like you said, I mean, even for me, I don't need to know exactly what deck permits people are applying for.
Exactly.
But yeah. I do want to know sort of the macro level items, mm-hmm. and we can yeah. kind of highlight those macro level items for you all and bring those here. One of the things that I noticed when we met earlier this year was I asked for a list of projects, and we had a handwritten list, and so we're going to be moving into having something that's done in Excel so that we can track certain things a little bit better. We'll have something in the next couple of weeks. And the other thing to be aware of, too, is that there are times that staff and perhaps I am aware of that people have expressed an interest in doing things, but they haven't submitted official applications. And in those cases, you might want to inquire with me or staff about them. But we may not necessarily present here because they're unofficial requests or whatever the case may be, as opposed to official applications. So, but anyway, if you ever hear any rumors or anything, feel free to contact me or contact Gene and CC me so that I'm aware of what the ask is. I'm not always aware of the rumors myself.
Indeed.
Okay. Any other questions? Or Gene, do you have anything else to add?
Nope.
Okay. All right. With that said, there's no other items for business this evening. I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you.